is vivid. I'm not struggling with dullness, but the observation of details is not there. It's more or less like a gross objects. The same with walking. I can stay with the walking objects, but I'm observing just the gross ones, like really the touching points and the movement of the whole leg and movement of the arms sometimes. So the objects, if I see them, I see them clearly, but they are big objects.
So, for my clarification, while walking, for an example, that you say that other parts' movements you can see, that means while you are in walking, sure that you are in mindful of the walking, still you can see not only the soul but the other parts of the body moving, and is that what you are reporting?
Yes. I'm like the primary object in moving is the sole of the feet, but sometimes there are the secondary objects, and that's like touching the trousers of the leg or movement of the arm or just catching a wind on my head and some other physical touching points elsewhere than on the feet.
Yeah, that is the that's an
And they're like
indication.
they pop up.
Yeah, that is an indication while you are keeping the track with the mindfulness with the soul, still mind can accommodate some other movements in the body. And in the same token, one day you may report while keeping the track with walking, you can hear some sounds, you can see some sceneries, you may be thinking other things, but they are not much important and not much influential, not how do you call not disturbing you. So likewise, when it is happening, sometimes if you are not well informed, you may see mind is distracted. But some instant now what you are going to say is, no, it is not a distraction. Still, I can keep the track with the mindfulness with the primary object, but I can accommodate some other things. You limited into the bodily movements, but I am going to expand it further. There may be some inert sounds. There may be some inert thoughts. There may be some inert pains or physical distinct. So let them be. But you can be in the primary object. Am I correct? So,
Yes,
yeah, that is something appreciable. But please be informed, in Samatha meditation, that kind of things are not allowed. Sometimes these things are not appreciated as such. So therefore, you have to understand the yogi, you have to understand the method of meditation. So we can generalize it, but still, you can say I use the term diversification. Mindfulness, keep the track with primary object and let the others happen, but you can accommodate. Imagine you are the boss in the office, and while you are doing your task, you can see other people are coming in on time and doing the job and all the kind of thing without disturbing your main task. So this is the way this is the way Sankhara means volition, is working. It keep the track with the primary thing, but it understand other mental concomitants are happening. Example given is like a monitor in the class without the teacher. One is also a student and he lead the class and keep the other silence and doing his own job also. This is the kind of, for my understanding, evolution of our mind, or revolution in our mind, or radical reflection in our mind is being invited. So do it in a very slow manner, don't rush, and don't find fault with, don't get irritated by external thing. So you must have a kind of a preparedness in your mind. So that I appreciate.
Thank you.
Dante, I would like to report on my sitting meditation. I would like to report three things. First is the general quality of the meditation. Second is the visual objects. And the third is the sound objects. As I last time mentioned, I have had problems with the bodily sensation and the tension and pains. I was able to find out that by changing the meditation object to rising and falling, the bodily sensations are weakening and not so intensive. So I was more able to focus my meditation in the center of the body and achieve calmness and steady mind and continuous mindfulness. And during these meditations, I can observe that sometimes some random pictures are appearing in my mind. I cannot explain anything about them. It's very strange that they are appearing. So only this, I just mark them that it's a visual object and go back to the meditation, the primary meditation object. And regarding the sounds, I was able to, when I'm in this calm, mindful meditation, the mind is centered in the body and it's very calm. And I observed three different sounds. First is those sounds like birds. They are not touching the mindfulness at all. I'm aware of them, that they are appearing, but the mind is not going to the sound at all. Still, I'm not sure how it's possible, but I'm aware of those sounds. The second group of the sounds is the sound which is already familiar to me, but the mind still jumps to the sound and tries to elaborate on the sound, but it's not difficult to note it that it's hearing and go back to the primary object. And the third group is the sounds which I never heard or are not familiar to me, and in this case the mind jumps to the object and tries to investigate what is this sound, and gets into the complicated thought process. So these are the most distracting sounds. But again, after some time, I realize that I'm thinking and mark them as the hearing and go back to the meditation, primary meditation object.
Yeah, as far as sounds are concerned, the bird sounds are not inflicting you. They come and don't disturb. But the second type, sometimes it drags the attention of the mind. So therefore, it is fighting, wrestling with the primary object. Sometimes primary object wins, sometimes sounds winning. So kind of a intermediate type. The last one is the unknown and new sounds. So whenever such a thing happen, the mind is jumping usually to the unknown. So we have a deep fear on unknown. We feel secure when you know something, and sounds or thoughts or pain or light or visual object, if we know, we feel secure. Unknown is happening, but unknown is a good sign that mind is expanding. Today's unknown may not be the unknown tomorrow. So likewise, it's going there. So the pain also, same thing, you can happen. Some pains are there. It is no harm. Medium type of pain, wrestling with the primary object. Some other kind of pain, as you mentioned in the sounds, the unknown, is definitely disturb your mind and inflicting the mind. So all the three have the same quality because of your mindfulness. You know, after the mindfulness, after the strength of the mind at your primary object, birds are less, new sounds are high, medium size are, medium type are wrestling with the breath. So this is a clear indication. When you keep on practicing continuously for a few days, your resistance level, your bearable level will be slowly increasing. It is never the same. So you must have this kind of a detailed bookkeeping and let the sounds come in the natural way. Just observe them, and there you can understand if you are a type of concentration biased and expecting the concentration and calmness, you will hate new sounds and the intermediate, and you will be feel happy with the familiar sounds. But if you are looking the question from the mindfulness point of view, this particular three-way analysis and observing it without the judgment definitely give you a more immunity, more adaptability, more evolution. So therefore, with that, continue to observe it, and the same thing it is applicable to the visual and smell and taste, sound wise, the bird sound and what you explain the visual, they comes but don't make much of a difference. We call inert sounds, inert thoughts, inert visual objects. They are there, but they are not disturbing. So understanding this is disturbing, this is not disturbing, this is intermediate, I think it's the sharpest thing in our mindfulness. You have to understand in their direct perspective, natural perspective. And most important thing is you have to report it. You have to tell someone, then only you master it. Next time you go prepared. That is the way it's happening. So, hope whenever you try to see things as they are, without prejudgmental, choicelessly be aware, you will definitely accommodate your first point, the tension. The bodily irritation is a must. Whenever if you wish to get rid of them, you are asking a higher problem. So, Sigmund Freud, if I am correct, he says, if you are not happy, if you do not know how to tackle the day-to-day unsatisfactoriness, a few months' time, you will entertain hysteric level of trauma. Best thing is to put up with the day-to-day unsatisfactoriness. That is mindfulness. So you see, the life is such. You can't have a frictionless, you can't have 100% efficient machines on the earth. Everything is having their own friction. They have their own efficiency level, so you are understanding machine. So in other words, we can say you love your body with little bit of tension. Even with little bit of frustration, you are ready to accept it. But the most difficult thing I am telling you, to tell someone, no one will believe. They want to have 100% perfect theoretical maximum before starting. That will never happen. So therefore, you have to familiarize yourself the certain amount of tension, certain amount of frustration, certain amount of disappointments, certain amount of boredom is there. And if you know it, you are the winner. So I hope you are slowly becoming familiar and accustomed to that and seasoned to that. And that, I would say, that is the progress in your meditation. Okay?
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello, Bhante.
Hi.
I want to report, similarly to what Yanchi said, the objects that I observe in both sitting and walking are still quite coarse, not very detailed and fine. And yeah, today I feel quite a bit of joy in the practice. It feels pleasant to observe the body.
Good, but even if you see the object gross in sitting and walking, and it is not the opposite of subtle and detail. Even if it is gross, you can have details. So you have to say it is gross, still you have to love it. You have to be friendly with it and observe two dimensions. One thing is observe longer time, more details. observe very immediately, come very close with the object, more details. Longer time is quantity-wise detail. If you come close with the primary object, if you come close with the immediate with the primary object, you get quality-wise a lot of details. So therefore, you know how to pick them. You know how to gather them. And so much so, you are free from distractions. More you search for detail of your primary object, that means you are plunging into the primary object. Come close with the primary object and see detail. That means, as Upandita Sayadaw says, if the rain is happens, even the roof is good, but the cross currents, winds can happen if the windows are closed. The cross currents and the wind will not wet your flow. So likewise, if you observe very closely with the primary object without giving much of the wind currents to cross currents to happen, distraction will not have any infliction. They will not inflict you. So it's a kind of a magic in your mind. So way out of is see details. See details, but don't rush at the beginning. Just be familiarized with the object. As and when the mindfulness gains the ground, you have to just give a little kick. You have to just say, now it's a time. Now primary object is either subtle or gross. Now just look, just peep, just be close with it, immediate with it, and you can see details. So whenever someone is about to report details, it is already understood he is free from distractions. So I hope in near future you will experience it.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Hello, Banta.
Hi.
I've been observing the practicing mind, and I've noticed some observations that I like to share. Yesterday was difficult because I was struggling to come back to the soles of my feet, and there was a lot of aversion, and I was noticing the resistance in the mind. And I noticed that the framework of the homework reporting is really making my mind really tight. I try to let it go. It doesn't work well with me, maybe with my personal history, but when I try to reframe it, just like Mandalyangaputta in the sutta, that, you know, I'm getting instructions once and then I'm going away, and this is for me, like, to solve my biggest problem, then there's more like wholeheartedness to the practice. So that's the first thing. The second one is around the primary object. So after the full day of like fighting with the mind yesterday, I let it go and I just allowed the mind to do what it wants to do. In my case, this is like a avoiding habit of escaping somewhere to the top of my head, like to the safety. So I just started to allow the mind to do it and just observe and like add some clarifications, like what are the senses involved right now in this experience. And then it changed the quality of the mind significantly, because it felt like the slowly the body sense and the mind that were tangled are becoming untangled, and then there was like a lot of gentleness. So before, the attention was like a spike, like a fortified spike coming out to the dangerous world and like trying to quickly touch some object, and then it transformed to something like a lava lamp, you know, like a liquid slowly moving here and there. The question that I ask to my mind that's helpful is like, yeah, well, what is the sense involved in this experience, regarding of whether, like, without, you know, choosing any primary object, and it seems to work better. Yes, so these are the two observations. Maybe the third one, if I may. This is something I'm still like trying to observe, because in the sutta, the Buddha says about the only about the appeal of the senses, right? The desire, like three types of desire, basically. And I still can't notice why am I. It feels like I am drawn to aversive states, and I can't see the pleasure in it. It feels like I'm grasping to something so that I can feel, the mind wants to feel anger and so on. So I'm just curious whether there is a pleasure in it as well. I haven't noticed it yet clearly.
So if I got the statement correctly, when you are starting, you feel difficult and you feel resistance. So let me call it as irritation. Whenever you try to introduce kind of a restraint, kind of irritation happen in the mind. And the second thing is, your tone indicates it's a self-accusation. You find fault with myself. My mind is that and my mind is so and so like. Two characters, one thing is irritation, other thing is you find, you assume it as my mind. You assume it as it's my fault like. So it is natural. This is the way whenever any kind of restraint introduced, you have a kind of resistance. Because opposite to the resistance, we call freelance and just like a bird. But whenever you become a yogi, you have to have restraint in your walking, sitting, and the resistance can happen. Irritation can happen. Or whenever mind goes wrong, whenever you become unmindful or bewildered, you have kind of a self-accusation. So both of them appear like a negative in the social sense, but both of them indicates mindfulness is now in action. That is how you feel these kind of thing. So when you keep on doing, continue to do like that, and you can see the nature of the mind. At the beginning, it is resistant, and ultimately, it is slowly, slowly accommodating, slowly, slowly understanding the situation. Then it is easier for you, not only for you, anyone. So whatever the science, whatever the skillfulness, whatever the hard task you have to do, at the beginning, it appear like a little difficult. But when you continue to do it, that your early mistakes are giving kind of a helping hand, ways and means, just to continue. If you happen to continue, you will develop the ways and means to be with it. And whenever you parallel with your primary object, whenever you be a little longer time with your primary object, whenever you sit longer, the eventful reactions will be reduced. When that happens, as you mentioned, try to mention in the second part of this thing, you have to appreciate dramatic, eventful things are making very distractions. But when the things are reducing, you get kind of an intermediate feeling. You get kind of an intermediate kind of understanding that is usually boring. Usually it is monotonous. So whenever mind is come to the medium level or middle path, you have to be prepared. Now dramatic up and downs and the irritations and the whole finding will be reduced, but the middle path may be appear boring. So you have to have that kind of understanding, preparedness. It may be too much, too early for you now, but when you keep on practicing with the help of early inputs, mind will find the equilibrium, mind will find the balancing point in the center and go prepared for that. Otherwise, it may appear a little boring and monotonous and limitless-like. So therefore, as you continue to meditate, these things better to keep in your mind. And this is how the mindfulness is gaining the ground. So best thing is you are not giving up. You are doing it again and again. And after a while only, you are going to get the results or benefits. So therefore, continue to do. Under such circumstances, my experience is walking meditation is better than sitting. Walking give kind of active participation, and mind is diligent, mind is mobilized, and practically you can find a middle path in the walking rather than sitting. So try successful sitting and then try walking, sorry, successful walking and then sitting. You may find less frictional in future sittings, if you are making your mind mobilized with walking meditation.
If I just allow the attention to do what it does, it feels like I don't feel failure, because it feels like a very good progress. It feels like I am watching impersonal attention, something that just happens in the mind, and there's a lot of peace and calmness. And it feels like I don't want to return to the beginning stages of like forcing my mind to do something, because it feels more wholesome to just observe what it does with the, you know, just like the Buddha says in the sutta, like in the scene, there's just the scene. So just to clarify what the senses are involved. And then there's immediately this impersonal sense of the mind. Whereas if I try to move my attention, it feels like this is my attention. I have to do something with it. And it comes back to this very like ordinary, like striving state in which I spent probably more than one retreat in my past.
So that means you are going to say that even the mind is distracted, even the bewilderment happens, if you, as far as you know, you are ready to accept it. You are not fighting with.
Yes, I'm like letting go of the notion of distraction. It's just the mind. So I because it feels more wholesome, just this distinction, primary object and distraction. Also, it's like not in the sutta, so I feel like confusion, because it's not in the sutta, right? So it's like two different instructions. We are reading the sutta, but the instruction is different. But if I just see that this is the mind and this is what it does, it's nature. But I just like add some purification, clarification that, you know, the mind wants to go to some safety. And I ask, yeah, do you have what you wanted to get, right? And then there's some more wholesomeness and especially discriminating between the mind sense and the bodily sense, which are like tangled, and just clarifying which is which, it leads to like a lot of calmness and clarity.
So that means your primary object is your safe haven. Whenever mind is going outside, am I to be in the primary object or to be in the secondary object? Is this the confusion?
Mm-hmm. So that okay, makes sense.
Yeah, that is not the confusion. That is, you have two options now. You can go back to the primary object and be in the safe haven. And now distraction is there. You are verily knows I am in a distraction. You know it. And there also, later it also will be a safe haven. So you are having two options now. So therefore, keep it open and continue like that. Whenever the mind feels tired, it will go home and stay with the primary object and safe haven. When the mind is happy to take challenges, diligent, and it will cope up with the prior secondary object or distracted mind, but you are not accusing mind. You just say, yes, that's also part and partial. So that is the way you keep it open. That is the point I make. If you are only searching about the safe haven, you are samatha yogi or concentration. But you are ready whenever possible to deal with the secondary objects. I am wondering mind. That's a kind of a robust, challenging or radical kind of a mind. So see, mind has two facets. One thing is very calm and quiet, non-action, primary object. Or taking a challenge, and even work with the primary object, not accusing yourself, But it is, you have no choice. Mind is playing this game. You are just observing it. Good. That's a good explanation.
Thank you. Thank you,
Bhante. So, hello, Bhante. Not to forget to report also on my walking meditation and daily activities. As you now just mentioned something about the walking meditation, I have to admit that generally I avoid the walking meditation because there is too much distraction and still the mind goes out quite often. And even though the approach of the mind has changed a little bit, that it's appreciating when it comes back home, still there is too much of, kind of distraction, or, well, the mind just prefers the sitting meditation. And in the sitting meditation, it was very interesting yesterday that the sentence that you said, that the way back home is always the same. It triggered something in the mind. It was just like, oh yes, it's so easy. It's so clear now. So because it's just the beginning of the retreat and the mind is just settling down. And usually for me, the beginning is very, very harsh, very fast. And the mind usually is not sharp enough yet. So it is irritating that it cannot catch up with all the objects and everything that is just rushing through the mind. But after yesterday, after your instruction, then the mind just said like, well, it just doesn't matter so much. You don't have to really catch everything that is to be aware clear, very clearly about each object or every distraction that is going through the mind. So it was really just like the mind stopped bouncing so much, and it was really more like the coin, the tossed coin, that it would just stay in the center, and it would just let the flow of all the sensations and pieces of thoughts and whatever sounds just rush through the mind. And sometimes even it became so fast that the mind was not even able to name it or to say what exactly it is, but still it was aware of that all this is going on. So it helped the mind to calm down very fast, and it was very peaceful, very very subtle afterwards. But then it led to the sleepiness, because it started to be very peaceful, and it was just like a flow of like not so much jumping, but just really very fast flow of like smooth sensations. And then in other sitting meditations, it was more, the focus was changing more. It, like the mind wouldn't just stay in the center, but it would sometimes explore, or not explore, but focus more on the bodily sensations, and very deep tensions in the body started to relieve. And and then later I had the feeling that I'm just like held by the head, like just hanging in empty space. And it was just, but not very strong pressure in the head, but just like the whole body already was kind of very, very, very subtle and very spacious, just like a balloon, just the very slight pressure in the head. And then I could feel also like the, as though, like in the backbone or somewhere, like some small corrections were being done or something. And then the perception of the body was really disappearing, because it was so indistinct and so subtle that it didn't attract any attention of the mind. And then again, it would shift to observe more the sounds or thought processes, or the tendency to think, and this tendency to grasp that if there is some object, then there is this wanting to understand the object, or wanting to know exactly what it is, whether it's a sound or whether it's a thought. And sometimes it would really go and grasp the object, but sometimes it would be aware of this wanting to hold on to the object, but it wouldn't happen. It would just be this, there is again this trying to catch the object. So it was a very Actually, for the first time, there was a very strong awareness of this, just the tendency of the mind to go after the object and touch it or to grasp it, but it's not that it wouldn't be allowed, but it just didn't happen because there was the awareness that there is this wanting to go out after the object. So that was my report.
So the latter part, what you try to explain is that you are losing the boundaries. What is my body, what is me and what is not me. So therefore you can't figure it out, hands, legs, body, head and kind of thing. So therefore labeling is very difficult. So therefore recognition, labeling, becoming difficult. So that is the way the left brain is going to work. Whenever the mind is more towards the right brain. Whenever the left brain is sharp enough to understand that particular part, what is me and what is not me and kind of thing. So you have to understand there are two moods. Sometimes we go for the pixels or particular particle and discriminate it from the others and study. Sometimes you see everything, individual particles have no boundaries. Going on, but it is the mind becomes very volatile, and you don't feel like calling it is my mind, you don't feel like it is my knowledge. So things are happening, you become a distance observer, and usually these things are happening much in sitting than walking, but the walking also making the mobilization of your energy and preparing for the sitting meditation. So therefore, don't consider the details of the individual particle versus the system-wise. They are two modes of understanding an entity, the analytical method and the system approach. So whenever it is moving one-to-one and moving one-to-one more to the other, you become more rejuvenated. You will not get old. You will be young, changing from one to the other. And you feel like a regression back to your child age. Before you recognize the world, and slowly, slowly, once you recognize only all the tension and names and everything in your mind. But whenever you give a chance to the mind to shift from the system approach to this kind of a detail, of course, German mind is detail mind, square mind. So I have to give an injection, I have to give a surgery and give a system approach. We are part and parcel in the whole system, and there is no chance to recognize something because arising and passing away. Things are happening, so you have to be co-prepared. This is not a losing of your knowledge, this is not a lost of your discrete understanding. It's another mode in our mind. See the system as such. So it is it's a kind of evolution. So sitting and walking, system approach and the reductionism theory, left brain, right brain. So whenever they are moving freely, there's another dimension of the mind developing, and it is very natural. It is not mind-made, pre-planned system. It's a natural evolution. It's a natural blooming. And when that happens, you are living. Otherwise, you are dreaming. Otherwise, you are in a kind of a calculation. But let that happen, so you have to lose Claudia. So I'm waiting when the clouds to disappear and dismantle, and Claudia lost. Good luck.
Hello, Bantra. So, yeah, I can go? Yeah, okay. So, yesterday, the whole day was influenced by a lot of sleepiness that was at the same time the tiredness of the body. So I pretty much cycled through the walking, sitting, and lying meditation. This last one, I think, was the most interesting because I was trying to be with the awareness, and at the same time, the sleepiness was happening to a various degree, and there was like this back and forth between the awareness and sleepiness. The sleepiness in itself was not very, it was pleasurable, and at the same time, not to fall into the sleep was unpleasurable. And you used this simile of the mindfulness being either tossed coin or a bouncing ball. Well, in this case, the mindfulness was more like a sticky ball. It would stick to the secondary object, that was sleepiness in this case. And after a time, it would dry up and fall back to me. And then it would stick again. And then it would, after time, it would like fall back. So that was one thing. The other thing was I was doing walking meditation to raise the energy of the body, and lots of secondary objects that were happening were coming together with this the reaction I had to them was this low level of anger, like the irritation that was pretty much constant.
So you are learning different facets of you, how the sleepiness sits in, and understanding sleepiness is enjoyable. Earlier it is sluggish. So that is the way you have to thin slice the time. Let the thing happen step by step. And when you are studying step by step, the mind is evolving, mind is generating kind of energy, and therefore it is something enjoyable. And second part, you develop kind of anger, kind of a hatred kind of thing. And that is also, you can see, just like a kindling of fire, you have to put little straw and kind of thing. And if you support, it will burn. Otherwise, it will reduce. So you find the maneuvering or controlling power when it happens slow motion. So therefore, whenever electric generator is working, you can study it. But I just stop it or slow down. Then only you can understand how the machine and how the generator parts are working. So therefore, in meditation, we just simply do little slow down. But of course, sleepiness you can't slow down. Anger you can't slow down. But whenever you are ready to accepting, or most important thing is go prepared. And when going there, so it's very negative things, very untouchable things, become digestible, become palatable. So go prepared for that. Whenever there is no sleepiness, there is no irritation, no anger, then only you have to give the attention to the primary object. Otherwise, you will be irritated, telling, oh, I try my best to be primary object, it is not there. No. Whatever it is coming along your way, effortlessly, take it as an object of meditation. When there is nothing, you take the primary object. So they are, in that way, you have to be an opportunist. Make use the chance. And then and there, thin slice it. Do it in a gradual way. So everything is, once it is slowed down, everything is giving another different perspective of the same phenomena. But in our day-to-day activities with so much attention and multitasking, very difficult for us to do. So slow down, go prepared, and thin slicing of time. And take these notes, keep it with you. You say you are really you understanding who am I, what am I. Otherwise, you are just like a robot, you are functioning like a machine. But now while it is happening, you become the actor, you become the observer, you become the director, you become the filming man, you are like a videotape, video game, video drama, teledrama. You become everything. Yes.
Yes, and there was this, just as you say, that there is, it's not like there is like one approach fits all to the what's happening. It's just I have to like operate differently according to what is happening. Just going back to the quality of the mindfulness when it was meeting the sleepiness, when it was meeting sleepiness skillfully, meaning that I was not falling asleep, but I was able to observe the sleepiness. This mindfulness was of a different quality than was than the mindfulness that was during the sitting meditation or during the walking meditation. It was less hard, more I would use the word diffused, more spread around, and this is the mindfulness, the quality of mindfulness, only quality of mindfulness with which I was able to touch the sleepiness, and then it would come back to me with that quality.
Yeah, that is the quality is, simply put, we call choiceless awareness. You be aware of what is happening and take it as a new object of meditation. You are not fighting with that. You are not expecting others to happen. You choicelessly be aware. Oh, evenly suspended attention. You see what is happening. Then it will start showing you. Your only thing you do it slowly. The circumstances will decide what to show. You have become a distance observer, carefully. When and where there is nothing, you must know, you have to keep it with your primary object, you keep it with your body and kind of thing. Otherwise, non-reactional way, you let the thing happen. Under the light of mindfulness, we have a mode we call SMS mode. Slowly, mindfully, silently. So in Sri Lanka, we have a huge the momentum called Mindful School. We are teaching children, a huge amount of children, learn SMS. Do slowly, do mindfully, and do silently whatever it is happening, and keep records. Then only you are really imbibing, you are really getting the sap of the phenomena, and it's very juicy, it is very tonic-like thing, very relaxed. There's no tension. Okay?
Thank you, Bhante.
Yes.
Okay, Bhante, so we still have few minutes. If it is all right with you, I would read the report from Anuradha. With blessings of the Triple Gem, sitting meditation, I settled into the breath quickly, noted cool in-breaths and warm out-breaths in both nostrils, noted that sometimes I felt the hardness of the breath in left nostril more than the right, and vice versa. After a while, I felt a quietness, and breath was only slightly recognizable. I felt my body swaying from front to back, and it gradually gained momentum. Wondering if this was a making up of my mind, I opened my eyes, and it stopped. I mean, I was not able to decide if it was a fragment of my imagination or if it actually stopped at the moment I opened the eyes. I closed my eyes, adjusted my body to a comfortable position, and went back to meditation. Mind quickly came into focus on the breath, noting various differences such as length, warmth, fluidity. Then the swaying started again. But this time I felt it happened, and I made an effort to keep my mind on in and out breath, on the in and out breath. Actually, I felt I was aware of both the breath and the swaying. Most Venerable Bhante, in such an instant, should I generally be aware of both or choose one and try to focus more on it and try to find intricacies of whatever objects I choose, either the breath or swaying? May you and all retreat organizers and participants realize the noble Dhamma.
I will add some more information. Please check if it is justifiable. Whenever the object is, rising left and the right, about to disappear, and when they become calm down, when they become subtle, then only the body respond is happening. Sometimes swaying, sometimes bending up and down, or becoming enlarged, or become shrinking, or losing your boundaries, kind of thing happen. So, but you have to understand, if you can keep the track with the disappearing breath, this is the fastest way. This is the shortest cut. But when your body becomes going to give this kind of different dimension, definitely the yogi become distracted because we have the love of our body. So therefore, if the body is swaying and kind of thing, be aware, because this is because my breath is now calming down. While you are in this moving, while they are in the swaying situation, occasionally try to see the breath. And if you are with so much of quick wit, you will understand still the breath may be reducing and disappearing or tapering off. But if you get agitated and excited with the bodily movements and get reacted, breath can be again gross. So, and one more thing, maybe too much for you. Once the breath becomes very calm and quiet, by itself, again the breath appears. There are cycles. When the breath goes to the lower bottom, the lower ebb, then only the bodily reaction and thinking, whether it is my mind-made swaying or real swaying, all the kind of thing can happen. For my understanding, they are good signs. Try to keep with the primary object as much as possible. And if the mind gets excited, it will definitely worry about the body. No harm. Now you are in this mood, and each and every sitting, this is going to happen. So if you have any doubt, if you have wanted to have direct path, go to the primary object. Otherwise, just see. Whenever the truth is face to face with, whenever the changing nature is face to face with, there's a kind of a bodily reaction. There's a kind of a bodily response. And it is not always a distraction, but if you go prepared, it is not a distraction, you can make use it. Otherwise, if we have no interviews and question and answer sessions and understanding, we may not discern the correct answer. So we have to talk with someone, share with someone, and then the other party can suggest, be aware, whenever the breath or primary object becomes subtle and subtle, kind of a bodily changes are happening. That is the how magicians are working. If you wanted to give kind of a camouflage, it draw the attention to something and all of a sudden showing something. The Buddha says, our mind is like a magician showing a magic in the crossroads. So this transition from the subtle breath, when the breath becomes subtle, the bodily reaction happens, you have to go prepared. But even then you have to have few cycles to understand, and patience make you very straightforward. And everyone is not encountering the same thing. But some or the other, I would say some kind of abnormality will happen. Lightening of the body, heaviness of the body, movements of the body. And I found this swaying character basically with the fat bodies, those who have less exercises, and therefore if you have good walking and good mobilized energy, that will be less. but it is not a well-documented, 100% sure observation. So do enough walking meditation, go prepared with that. For me, it's a good sign. Don't worry about to select whether to go into the breath or to the body. Let the drama play. You get a distance observer and see what is happening, whatever it may be. You are on the way back. You are on the way back home. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. Yes. If Anuradha doesn't want to ask anything more, then or anybody else that is online, then we can maybe close the session.
Actually, Jan, is it possible for me to... is it possible for me to ask a question now? Is it too late or shall I ask tomorrow?
From my point of view, it is all right. Let's ask Bhante.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you, Bhante. I just want to get a little bit of clarification about what you just said about the subtlety of the breath. Now, I notice now when I'm... my primary object of my meditation is the breath. And I start off with my posture on the cushion and then feel noticing the breath, the in and out of the breath. And then I gradually let the breath come into the primary, the focus on its own, without me sort of like controlling that this is the in and out of the breath and let it be. So while I pay attention to this breath, I gain a sense of calmness and I'm comfortable with the breath now. And my focus, I can stay with the breath, I'm happy, and I make the breath like my friend that I can be with. Try to be with. So then once I develop this calmness and a sort of sense of happiness or comfort with the breath, then I realize I'm no longer with the breath. My mind has wandered after a while. I don't realize as it wanders. So then after a few minutes, I realize, I said to myself, well, my focus is supposed to be on the breath, not what my thoughts were, whatever I was thinking. So I bring back my attention back to the breath. So it goes on like that. But then I just wonder, when I bring it back, I start from the beginning, like of the breath, watching the in and out of the breath. And then again, it just quickly goes into that calmness again without having to go through the whole process from the very beginning. So it goes to and fro like that. And then eventually, after a while, when the breath becomes, I notice it becomes very maybe long gaps, long stages. And then I feel as if I haven't got the breath or something. And then I feel like a choking sensation, maybe. And sort of a panic, maybe a little bit panicking. Oh, am I trying to, where's my breath gone? Or am I breathing or something? And then I panic and then I go back to the beginning of the breath and start breathing all over again. And it just keeps, gets stuck there at that stage. So that's where my meditation is at the moment, going round in circles of watching the breath, and then gaining this calmness, the happiness, and then going into some sort of thoughts, and then bringing it back like that.
So you have to check whether you are appreciating the calmness and the subtle breath, or your mind is appreciating the gross and grounded gross breath. That is the point where likings and dislikings are working. So continue to like that. Everyone has to go through this situation and see whether you like calm breath, the calmness, but it is a doorway opening to the wandering mind. And soon out of the wandering mind, when you come back, again the breath is rather gross. So then you feel at home. You have to understand, you have to check which one is your liking. Liking to the calmness and uncontrollable situation, or gross, somewhat controllable situation. Just check. It is your personality trait. So if you are meditating to understand, meditating to detect this liking and disliking, I hope it will be leading to the next stage.
I mean, I naturally like the peace, the calmness, and the the being with the breath. I've befriended the breath.
So if it is so, please understand the calmness is leading to the wandering mind, leading to the sleepy mind, leading to the unknown area, leading to the uncertain place. And again, when you come back, it's a panic. So therefore, panic is happening in the four stages. Calmness, nothingness, and then lost, and again, you don't know what to do kind of thing. So that is why some people very happy, you feel the gross body, gross breath, and happy. So therefore, whether you like it or not, they are reciprocal each other. Continue to practice like that, with that preparedness.
So keep bringing it back to the breath.
No, I am not telling I am telling that let the phenomena to happen and see which one is like how much the liking and disliking is leading you. Try to catch it.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind, Bhante. Yeah. Thank you, Bhante. Thank you.
Okay, Jam, that's the end of the session.
Yes, thank you, Bhante.
We get disconnected from this end. Thank you.